This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
He's an American.
Who knew?
We have our first American Pope. He's going to take the name Leo Exiv. Exiv.
Isn't that great?
Interesting choice for a last name.
I was watching, I was actually listening to the midday show in my car when we had first learned it was an American. I was like, oh my gosh, it's an American. Very few people, I think, saw that coming. And then I got home and watched some of the pomp and circumstance outside in the coverage on CNN and ABC. I will say this. The translator that ABC News used, were you listening to this, Dan?
No, I did not hear it.
I'm not so sure he was fluent in Italian.
Well, so as someone who used to be fluent in Spanish, obviously I couldn't stand and translate Italian, but it is very difficult.
It's a similar language, though. It's based in Latin.
But just in terms of translating in real time.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think anyone at ABC, this is all I'm trying to say, Sam, I don't think anybody at ABC thought it was today. David Muir seemed, he said on a loop, I wonder if he likes Chicago-style pizza. You know, they were just grasping for something to say.
Well, maybe they weren't expecting to have to translate from English to Italian. Well, maybe they were thinking they were going to have to go the other way.
They had someone on there who was trying.
It is very difficult to translate in real time, especially because of the nuances of the language.
Sure.
Like, if you are directly translating word for word, you will stumble over certain things, and you will misrepresent the message that is being delivered in that foreign
language. That is correct.
And I'm actually not knocking it. I think in a weird way, it was charming is not the right word. I think it goes to show you how thrown off everybody was by this, that not only was it today, but that is for the first time an American Pope.
So I was watching MSNBC, literally delaying my arrival at work because I wanted to see it. You know, I didn't want to just hear it on the radio. I wanted to see it.
Yeah.
Right? And I wanted to see the pomp and the circumstance. So over the last two nights, we watched Conclave on Tuesday night. Last night, we watched The Two Popes, which is about Pope Benedict resigning the office and Pope Francis ascending to the office.
Yep.
It's a great movie. Both movies are great.
Is it a documentary or?
It's a movie.
It is a movie, but
based in historical fact.
Docudrama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really good. And you see how Francis, when Benedict told him, I'm going to resign, and Francis was not the odds-on favorite to get the position of Pope. And Francis, but he and Francis were good friends. And he's telling Francis, I'm going to resign. And Francis is Pope, who would become Pope Francis, is begging him not to. Nobody's done this in 1,000 years. You're gonna shatter the Catholic Church. You have to stay as Pope. And Pope Benedict is saying, I don't feel the connection with God that I once did. And I can't remember the last time I heard from God. And Francis is just begging him, don't do this. And he does it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Francis, when he gets elected Pope, is like, may God never forgive you for being alive while I'm the Pope, you know, because now we have two popes.
Well, I am going to go, and you highly suggested I watch Conclave.
Yeah.
You are the third person in as many days to tell me that. One of the girlfriends I was with this morning said, we watched it last night. It is outstanding.
I watched it last night.
Did you too?
Conclave. It's great, isn't it?
It is a fantastic film. Just know that it does not happen in four votes in the movie.
Yes, I will. Yes. Take that under advisement.
The ending, you never. No, it's not. It's 2 hours long. It's a ma'am.
Medium.
Ass movie.
Well, it's a slow moving art film that debuted at the Telluride Film Festival. So I'm actually surprised that you were really into it. But it's a really good movie.
Yeah, if you're looking for sex, drugs, or violence,
no,
it's not in there.
Mm-mm. It's just a good, solid film. That
it really is.
We read yesterday some of the cardinals or bishops that were too young to have ever voted for Pope watched Conclave for some sort of historical understanding of what it might be like, because the movie is based loosely on historical record of what goes on behind those closed doors.
Well, and there were cardinals that watched it who had been part of a conclave in the past and said, this is very, very accurate of how it goes down.
A political thriller,
basically. So Vegas will bet on anything.
You're kidding.
Oh, no. And in fact...
How much?
Well, hang on.
How much did you win?
The odds were on whoever the... Sam, can you look up who the Vatican Secretary of State was? I believe it's like Perloni or something like that. He was the odds-on favorite in Vegas with a 23-24% chance of becoming the next pope.
Cardinal Pietro Parolin.
Parolin, that's right. He was the favorite.
Okay.
There was, and then there were like the cardinal from the Philippines was number two. There was another one from Bologna, Italy, who was number three. There was a guy, this was the one I wanted to win, Pizza Gala.
Pizza Gala.
I wanted Pope Pizza Gala.
Really?
He was number five. Robert Prevost, who is now Pope Leo the 14th. The betting odds on him in Vegas, 2%.
Two.
Dark horse.
So if one were to gamble on something of that nature, one would have, you know, maybe brought home a significant payday if you threw $1,000 down.
Pope Francis in 2012 was a 4% chance.
I was just about to say, we can't look into how many votes people got in the past because they burn all of those voting cards immediately after they are submitted. However, the story has always gone that it is never the odds-on favorite. So that ends up getting the call.
You're right, Sam. The old adage is, if you walk into the conclave a pope, you will walk out a cardinal.
Mm-hmm.
You never win if you think you're going to win. And I remember watching MSNBC today when the word was coming out, and word had not been given from the balcony at the Vatican. It was just being handed out to the news media. And Chris Jansing on MSNBC goes, literally, and I'm paraphrasing, but close enough to be dangerous. She's handed a piece of paper, and you can hear it, and she goes, oh my, this is amazing. The next pope is an American. The first ever American.
See, I missed that.
Yeah. Remarkable.
I was in my car right after they made the announcement.
Texter, you are correct. The XIV stands for 14. It is a Roman numeral. He is Leo the 14th.
No, his name is Leo Exiv.
Stop it.
By the way, the fifth or fourth most popular papal name.
Oh, let me guess.
Is Leo the fifth?
Leo
most popular?
It's either the fourth or the fifth, yeah.
Okay.
Do you have the list in front of you?
I can pull it up really quickly.
I truly am happy for my Catholic friends. I know that this is a day of significance. And,
got it.
You know, even people who weren't Catholic were in town for this, Scott. They interviewed a woman from New York that said she started crying. It was
I think very moving. I might go to a Catholic church on Sunday just to see how it's handled.
You can come with me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, when I do go, it's Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Well, I'm not going there.
Right down the street from my house.
I mean, it is a fascinating
ritual
thing. Not just the ritual,
really,
but the
is.
History of it, because this is the oldest organization on the planet.
Religiously.
I think any organization.
Leo is tied for fourth, by the way.
Okay, let me guess. Pius has to be in the top five.
Pius is fifth.
Francis has to be up there.
Previous Piuses. Francis is not in the top
Francis,
five.
Francis, he was the first. Gregory
ties for second with 16.
John.
Number one overall, 23, Pope John's.
Pope John the 23rd. So we're missing number three.
Well, you're missing whoever tied for second, number three, and a tie for fourth.
And I've already said Pius.
What
that
about
was fifth?
Chad.
Chad is not. Nope. Pope Chad.
Doug.
Coming back to zero on that one.
No other pope has ever taken the name Peter.
Well, that'll never happen.
That'll never happen.
Yeah.
Is there a Matthew or a Mark?
So also tied for second with 16 would be Benedict.
Okay.
That's right. Dang it.
Coming in third with 14, Pope Clement.
Clement.
And then
I believe it's Clemente, but okay.
Well, there is no E on the end.
Okay.
Then I stand corrected. Fourth with Leo at 13 times is Pope Innocent.
Wow.
You know what I found weird is the church, the Catholic Church has been around for 2,000 years. They've only had 267 popes. What is the math on that?
Well, you talked about this yesterday, Scott. One of the earliest popes, you know, hundreds of years ago, they elected a 12-year-old.
Years,
yeah. That's going to knock down the overall number if there was someone that led that church for 60 years or you know, what have you.
It didn't start at the year zero on the calendar, if you will. The organization of the church came later with the popes.
All right, so let's make it 19. Well, Peter was the first pope. Did they do that retroactively?
Peter was the first pope. He was also the longest serving pope at 34 years. Oh, he served up until 67 AD, or depending on which calendar you follow, 64 AD.
Which is when he was crucified upside down.
The second longest serving pope, Pope Pius IX, 31 years.
Huh.
He was in the late 1800s. Pope John Paul II, the third longest, served until 2005 at 26 years.
Well, I take it back. So the average pope has served 7.5 years.
Yeah.
With some of those in the early days skewing the average a tad,
right?
Is my guess.
And as we mentioned yesterday on the show,
you have to be a certain age.
There was one pope, John Paul I, who served what 32 days.
Yeah.
Much more stability in recent decades, if you will. But go back in the history, and it's more tumultuous.
The shortest serving pope, Pope Urban VII,
didn't make it a day, did he?
13 days. Died before consecration.
Oh.
913-586-7798 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Shocking news from Three Doors Down, where vocalist Brad Arnold, who is only 46 years old, says he has been diagnosed with stage 4 kidney cancer. But I love his attitude. In a video that he posted on their website, he says, "I've got some not so good news for you today. I've been sick a couple of weeks, went to the hospital, got checked out, and had actually got the diagnosis that I had clear cell renal carcinoma that has metastasized into my lungs. It is stage four, and that is not good." But he goes on to say, listen to this, "You know what? I serve a mighty God, and he can overcome anything. I have no fear. I am sincerely not scared at all."
Good for him. Wow.
We
would all hope to handle something like that with such grace.
No doubt.
We might bring this back a little bit later in the program, but I wanted to mention it up top because I know we have so many postal employees who listen to the program on your route. We have 5 former United States Postal Service workers at the Kansas City, Kansas office who have been indicted for mail theft, Scott. 5.
Really?
And listen to their ages here in a minute. 5 former Postal Service employees have been indicted by a federal grand jury for stealing mail, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office. 49-year-old Terrence Luster of Lee's Summit, 64-year-old Laura Dantzler of Kansas City, Missouri, 49-year-old Arthur Hook of Lathrop, and 54-year-old Craig Rowland of KCK, along with a 60-year-old woman named Cheryl Wankum of Overland Park. All five charged, okay, all between 50 and 60 years old. It doesn't say if they were all five working at the KCK facility on North 51st.
It's safe to assume that they probably were, though, considering they're charged with mail fraud in KCK.
But were they working in tandem? Because listen to this. All five former workers work at the post office on North 51st Street. Court documents allege they stole Amazon return packages.
There it is.
Mail and other items for their personal use. The case is under investigation by the United States Postal Service, the Inspector General, blah, 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 blah. So I go to return my Amazon package. Amazon says, we're not going to refund your money until it comes back to us. And I say, well, I returned it. Would most people track that down? And how does all this come out in the wash?
I don't know how you track it down. I think Sam and I are still trying to get past the fact that the fifth suspect's last name is Wankum.
It is. Cheryl's last name is Wankum, Scott.
Very distracting.
Do you think that was an issue when she was in high school?
No, I don't. All right.
Did she marry into that name?
I would not hyphenate that one either.
Did she think about it in the time? So as far as I know, most of the time.
What if she married a guy whose last name was Wiener? And she
would you hyphenate that one?
Wiener Wankum.
We have an order for Miss Wiener Wankum.
Oh,
order for Miss Wiener Wankum.
We are off the rails.
I tried to keep going, and you.
We couldn't help ourselves.
7 year olds over there.
Seven, at least 13.
Do you think one of them in the office said, hey, Larry, I've got this idea. Why don't we start sealing Amazon? And he goes, you know what? Let's bring Don into this. And then Don goes, you know what? Let's bring Craig in. They're all like.
And then Shirley came in and said, I'll wank him.
Almost retirement age.
Stop. In most cases, or at least in the packages that I have returned, I just take it to like Whole Foods and they have an Amazon return counter. But then they have to ship it through somebody. So are they getting the, you know,
that is how I read this.
Of packages from Whole Foods?
But Sam, it was also other mail. It wasn't just Amazon packages. It was also other mail. These stories are in the stack quite a bit. I'm going to be honest. The USPS has got to get a handle on this.
I don't dispute that. Here's the mail they could have been stealing. What season are we in?
Graduation.
And?
Checks.
Tax refunds.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of older people don't have direct deposit. And so you get a check that is literally from the U.S. Treasury.
And
well,
in most cases.
What do you think's in that envelope?
In most cases with the Amazon package, once it is scanned at whichever service you're using to return that package, then the refund is issued. It's not issued once they get the package, but in some cases, if it's a third-party seller and they never get the package, you just stole from somebody.
You know, when they asked the first four defendants, they all said, you know, I think it's Wankum.
So a couple of texts have come in.
Husband's name's Richard?
Yeah.
No.
Somebody said, what if Miss Wankum had married into the Dana Wright family, you Wankum Wright.
All right.
It's an unfortunate last name. I think we can all agree to that.
Well, she's got bigger problems than her last name right now.
Clearly.
She was close to retirement. She's 60.
Greed knows no age.
From the text line, I am a postal retiree. They have been so desperate, they've been hiring people without vetting.
Oh.
We have no confirmation of that, but.
All right. Burger King is defending itself against this class action lawsuit that claims that the Whopper in the advertisements is not the Whopper that you get when you go to a Burger King.
Hmm.
Quoting here from Burger King, a spokeswoman. The flame-grilled beef patties portrayed in our advertising are the same patties used in the millions of burgers that we serve to our guests across the United States. If you missed the news, Burger King is being sued by 19 people in 13 different states because they claim the patties on the Whopper do not match the patties in the advertising.
That the objects in the mirror are much larger than they appear in real life.
Correct.
Specifically, the size of the meat and whether or not it hangs over the bun.
I think people in America have way too much time on their hands, and we will leave it at that.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Coming up later, the attempt to change the name of Troost Avenue to Truth Avenue appears to be stalled in Kansas City.
I understand what they're doing, and I certainly understand why, as the historical dividing line between black and white in the town and the namesake's background, all of those things. Is it not just sometimes hard to rename things? I'm not equating this with the Grandview Triangle, but we've tried in other ways to rename other things.
The Paseo?
Yeah.
Did they ask anybody in the Troost Corridor how they felt about changing the name of Troost is always the first question that I would ask.
Well,
I've seen several news stories about it, and it does look like they have reached out to folks who live over there. As much as I would love to change that history and somehow change what that has come to signify as this dividing line, changing the name is not going to change what divides us and why.
No, that's true.
I wish it would.
But I would make the argument, and we'll get into this in the 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock hour, changing the name from Troost to Truth is dumb. Why not use it to honor somebody in our community who has done great things, you know? Brooks Avenue.
Yeah.
After Alvin Brooks.
Yes, absolutely.
What's wrong with Brooks Avenue? And don't tell me, well, they've got to be dead, Scott, first before you... because
Cleaver, too.
Emmanuel Cleaver, the second Boulevard. That's right.
But you remember with the Paseo, they tried to get a vote to pass multiple times. It did not pass. They decided, well, we don't really care that you guys voted it down multiple times. We're going to change it to Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard anyway.
It's still Paseo.
Every business, every homeowner said, what are you doing? We want the name Paseo. They even took the time and the money to change all of the road signs. And then they had to change them all right back.
Well, and you have to keep in mind, a lot of the businesses don't want the name of the street changed because all of their stationery's on it, so much of what their business is associated with that they have to spend money on has the name Troost on it. And granted, yes, Troost was a slave owner. He was also one of the fathers of Kansas City, Missouri.
He was listed as the first active physician in Kansas City.
I love the Alvin Brooks idea, and I would also throw the name Kay Barnes in for consideration. Without Kay Barnes, there is no power and light.
I agree. Kay Barnes has not received, still alive, by the way.
She has a room next to the banquet hall inside of Bartle.
It's not enough. I mean,
at that point, I would just be like, I'm good.
I mean, Emmanuel Cleaver, say what you will about him as a mayor. He was a great mayor, I would argue.
Very popular.
But in our modern era, I'm trying to think of a mayor that was more consequential than Kay Barnes. I really mean that. What is named after Carol Marinovich in KCK?
Well, the entire Legends complex should be, but nothing. To my knowledge,
I'm not aware of anything named after Carol Marinovich in all of KCK.
Wouldn't we name it after somebody who worked to unify the community? I like the Alvin Brooks submission.
Yes.
I think Alvin Brooks is long overdue for some recognition, whether it's a street, a district, dare I say the airport?
Yeah.
But who knows? Story here from Channel 9. Manny's Mexican Restaurant, a Kansas City staple, for 45 years is at a crossroads, pun intended, due to rising crime in the Crossroads District. Owner David Lopez, we have a call out to him, by the way, said crime is pushing his business to a breaking point, with incidents ranging from car break-ins and property damage to ATV riders performing sideshows in the street. Despite investing in private security, David Lopez believes more needs to be done, and he is urging city leaders to increase police presence on the weekends. Quoting here, bricks being thrown through their front doors, break-ins, cars being stolen. You know, the ATVs, the dirt bikes, all these vehicles that are running up and down, not stopping at stoplights, scaring pedestrians as they're walking across the street and walking down the wrong side of the road. Lopez warned that if the situation does not change, he may consider packing up.
Oh.
And Manny's would leave the Crossroads District after 45 years.
You want to talk about a staple.
An uprising.
A staple down there. It's Manny's.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
And it is an issue if the weather is over 50 degrees every single Friday night, every single Saturday night. I mean, when we go to La Bodega, one of our favorite spots,
love,
if it's
La
Friday
Bodega
or Saturday night, we sit inside. We don't care how nice it is outside because we know at some point for 5 minutes we're not going to be able to hear ourselves think because of the number of ATVs and dirt bikes that are going to be driving by.
I'm curious for all of the restaurants along that specific corridor. Are they all seeing this problem?
By the way, I did speak with Mr. Lopez. He cannot join us today, but he said that he's already getting some great feedback from the mayor and city council.
Well, good.
So what do they do? I mean, I heard Middays today talking about one of the businesses, and I think it's across from Tomstown, because we went over there for a drink a few weeks ago, and they had this gigantic, like, I don't know, mobile-looking robot thing, and it says, warning.
You're being observed.
Yeah. You are under surveillance.
You are being surveilled.
And there were some people on the Midday Show saying that, like, it kind of feels dystopian and, you know, that everybody's looking at you. I took the opposite. I was a little surprised to hear the voice, and I was looking around like, where did that come from? It made me feel safer leaving my car right there.
Knowing that it was being filmed.
Knowing that other people walking by would hear the same thing. Hmm. Don't mess with the cars in this parking lot. You are under surveillance, right? And so is there not some sort of, and even using grant money in Kansas City, where they could flood Crossroads, downtown, River Market, Plaza, pick your entertainment district, flood it with not just technology, but security at night?
And while it does feel dystopian to have all of these robots as our monitors, per se.
We're being monitored all the time anyway.
You know what's more dystopian? A bunch of empty storefronts.
Yeah.
Well, but you mentioned security guards.
Someone physically standing in front of that parking lot with a security uniform on.
But it's not the parking lot, Dana. They're riding the ATVs down the street.
I know.
Do you think for 1 second that one of these ne'er-do-wells who's on an ATV going up and down the street gives one hot damn about an unarmed security guard who does not have the authority to arrest them? Here's what you need to do. I thought about this morning. On any given Saturday night, say, Sam, when you and Mary Beth go out, what time would you go out and you see the ATVs going up and down the street?
We would get there about 8 and probably within 30 minutes into our meal.
The police probably know roughly around 8:30, here come the idiots, and they're going to go up and down the street on their ATVs. They're going to intimidate, harass people who are just downtown to go to Manny's and have some of the best. I don't even like Mexican food, and I like Manny's. It is literally an iconic restaurant in Kansas City, and it's good. So they know roughly the area where these guys are going to be. Can they not corner them in, block off streets?
Yeah, Scott, the last time they did that, a police officer was almost struck and killed. I will tell you for your comment that a security guard's not going to do anything, with respect to the car break-ins, it would.
Yeah.
You would not even want to put a security guard in that position because there are members of that group or sect of society that clearly are so disregarding of other people's safety, rights, the law, any way you want to put it, that when that officer first fell to his knees, that ATV rider didn't just get the heck out of there because I've knocked the officer down. He reared up, revved back, and crashed the ATV down on that officer's head. I still do not know how that police officer survived that.
Now, we need to be careful not to conflate two separate issues, because I don't think it's the ATV riders or the dirt bike riders that are breaking into cars or breaking into businesses.
No, I'm not
but,
either.
But it's but, a, it's all, it's all of it, Sam, if you own a business down there, because with the loud muffler noise, you just said you're not going to sit outside at La Bodega, one of the greatest patios in the city.
They're intimidating would-be customers to your restaurant.
In fact, I told you I stayed at the Lowe's downtown in St. Louis. We were there several months ago. And I have recommended, it's the coolest hotel down there, but I have cautiously recommended that hotel because I said right outside, it was like a, I don't want to say a war zone, but it was the loudest, most chaotic, crazy street racers up and down and dragging. And then they had like five or six actual St. Louis police officers outside of the hotel. And I remember saying to Johnny, I don't know if that makes me feel better or if that makes me feel worse, that the crime is apparently so bad. There's all these officers standing right here.
And tell everybody the conversation you had with the lady at the front desk of the hotel.
I go, what is the deal outside? They're just running red lights. And she goes, oh, we've lost control of this city long ago. Mm-hmm. She goes, police don't even try. They've got way bigger fish to fry than someone running a red light.
The Daily Mail even picked it up, calling Kansas City a Mad Max-esque city after 8 p.m. in the summer.
Are they wrong? I don't go downtown at 8 o'clock at night. So tell me, are they wrong?
I mean, that is a wild descriptor.
Perception is reality, and how many of us have said to our kids, not after 8?
Oh, I've said that to mine.
It's a non-starter.
You do not go downtown after 8 o'clock. 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Tell everybody what's on the front page of the New York Post, Dana.
You guys, this is bad. Under U.S. News, in all caps, hooligans on dirt bikes, ATVs, and souped-up cars overrun downtown Kansas City, terrorizing locals. Listen to the first sentence. Wild street racing and surging crime have turned a once-bustling downtown Kansas City neighborhood into a pit of hell for residents and small business owners who say police presence in the neighborhood has vanished. And they point out Crossroads specifically.
Why is there not a police presence downtown in the Crossroads? Why? I'm asking you, Mayor Lucas.
The most recent stat I could find regarding number of officers was a story bragging about the fact that we are now fewer than 300 officers short from the minimum needed to properly fulfill the needs of a police department of a city our size.
Let's go to Bob on the west side. Bob, hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, guys. Now that the weather's better, this is a nightly occurrence. Worse on the weekends. I would describe them as a gang. They communicate via social media. There could be anywhere from 20 to 30, 50, 100 of them, depending on the day. Their mission and goal is to cause absolute chaos and mayhem. And it's bad.
Are these kids who were not hugged enough by their mother when they were babies? Well, or what is this?
Well, Scott, I'm your age, so we're of the same generation. And I can tell you that my kids wouldn't be doing this kind of thing. But I don't know what the end goal is of what kind of satisfaction they get out of this other than just being hooligans. That's a good description. I think, in my opinion, the best measure here would be to get a task force. I think the mayor is kind of trying to do that. I've heard him say such, but literally like a gang force to go after these folks. And when they're caught, you know, confiscate their vehicles, crush them into a nice cube. Yeah. Crush them and, you know, give them some time to sit in a cell for a while. That's the only way I think this behavior is going to change.
Well, it's a mess and it's not a good look. It's not a good issue or problem here. Certainly if you work here, live here, it's a terrible look when it's in the New York Post. And this is the quote from the Manny's owner in the Post: to keep his staffers safe from the joyriders. The restaurateur told the outlet he now sends waitresses, dishwashers, and other staff home at 8 p.m., which used to be the time of dinner rush.
So I like the idea that Bob had that you had. You catch these guys, pass a city ordinance. We catch you, you know, sideshowing or whatever it is. We don't just take your ATV. We destroy your ATV.
Publicly.
Fine.
We have to have a public crushing of the vehicles and cars.
Here's the other thing. Why not add speed bumps? Not permanent, temporary. You can put temporary rubber speed bumps on a downtown street.
At every single intersection in the city, because you put speed bumps in one, they're just going to move to another intersection.
Well, you just put speed bumps. This is a four-wheeler. That's fun. You just made it more fun. Thank you.
Let's go to David in KCK. David, hello.
Hi, Scott. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Love the show, and Scott, you guys, thank you so much for taking care of our show. Blessing upon all of you.
Oh, thank you.
Just had a couple of little points, and I started listening when you guys started talking about the Troost situation.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, in my opinion, instead of trying to virtue signal, you know, instead of trying to be that bureaucrat that virtue signals and try to change just one street name, why don't you actually do something for the, you know, for the black community? For the, you know, it's full of crime. It's full of a lot of terrible things. Why is there no focus on that? Because it's just bureaucratic virtue signaling, all right? Number one. Number two, okay? That woman that stabbed that firefighter a week ago or like a couple of weeks ago, she tried to, you know, touch a cop and take his knife away from him.
Yep.
Back when I was growing up, you get shot for doing that kind of stuff. So I don't know what kind of new training or what kind of stuff is going on. Now, let's talk about bail reform. Why are there so many criminals out in the street? And then to touch on the point that was just made, 300 less cops. You know who can we? You know who we can blame for all of this? The defund the police people. Let's go ahead and talk about those people. Let's talk about everybody who's been trying to deconstruct our society, our good ways. You know, it's costing business. It's costing us everything.
Yeah.
But again, it's the defund the police people. I'm going to say this very carefully. I didn't vote for this. People voted for this, and I mean, that's why they make fun of us. We live in blue cities. They just say we're just full of crime. And again, instead of just virtue signaling about a damn name who people don't even remember, Truth, whatever you want, like actually do something. Do something to keep the criminals inside. Let's get some more cops out there. Let's establish law and order. I mean, what family is going to want to go out when you got all these criminals out in the streets?
All right. Got to stop you there, David. Thank you for the call.
It is graduation season, and so graduation parties, high school graduation rituals. And I want to talk about one of them later on the program, Scott. Did your kids play the Assassin's game?
Yes.
We're going to talk about that coming up. A young person is seriously injured. And I've been saying for years, I don't think in this day and age, it's a good idea. And I'll tell you why when we come back.
All right. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie, the Third News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.